Thank God. Amen. You better have that. Amen. Brother Wayne Henderson, you come preach to our hearts. Amen. Pray for Brother Wayne.
We in church, ain't we? Glory to God. I was just thinking how good, what a good deal we got. We got a Bible that's incorruptible. I said this a lot of times. You can feed it in one of them liberal seminaries, 1611. When it gets done with it, they got it all chewed up. When it spits out, it'll be a 1611, buddy. Born again, not a corruptible seed, but by incorruptible by the Word of God. Don't it say that? And then I got an inheritance that's incorruptible, so I ain't going to lose nothing. Ain't that right? Talk about old death slipping in the door. My old friend has come to see me. Hello, buddy. I've been looking for you a long time. Amen. Amen. I'm about three sheets in the wind, if y'all don't know what I mean. We about headed over in the prayer room tonight. I want you to turn your Bible to... I think I'll have you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel. Let's get you to turn the Bible to 1 Samuel 15. I've been working on something a long time, and I'm just going to... This may not work, and it may work, but I'm just looking for me tonight. This is just me. I'm going to tell y'all something. You ain't preaching to a fellow running around on the sideline. I'm not trying to find a way out. I ain't on the edge. You preach on that edge all you want to. I ain't on no edge. No, sir, buddy. About 45 years ago when I got in the cab of this outfit, I shoved my foot down against the floor and I held the gas down as hard as I can for about 45 years. I want to get as far in God as I can get. If you just preach me a little further up the road, I'll kiss your feet for it, buddy. I'm not trying to find a way out. Amen. I want to touch a God on my life, but I don't want to live another minute. What's the point of sitting on the sideline? I want some God. Amen. You say, "You listen, I love Him. He's done a lot for me, buddy. Saved everything I own that's right and good. It came from the hand of God. Everything He denied me, He just kept it out of my life. So I could go on a little farther. God only knows the junk I own. I talked to a man today that gave me that 357 Colt Python. I was just jiving him. I said, "It's going to sell it for $50. And we laughed. But I'm going to tell y'all something. That 357 don't mean nothing to me. I wanted a steel lathe all my life. I never would pray about it. I thought it was a luxury. When I got that steel lathe, I had a rubber mat down in front of it. I got down on that rubber mat and thank God that steel lathe didn't mean nothing to me when it come to God. I got shotguns and rifles and wrenches and lathes and tools and everything else, Homer. And none of it weighs on the scale where God is. Oh yeah, buddy, I can turn my back on all of it. It ain't got a say, got a cent of value to me when it comes to God." And I hope you're hungry for God tonight. I don't believe all of y'all, but I can tell you right now, there's four or five of us are. You ain't going to preach me out. You might preach me up closer, but you ain't going to preach me out. They used to tell me in school, "You ought to have been here in the old days." And I heard it four or five times. And finally I said one day, "Just give me some of them old days and see if you can run me off." I didn't go there to get out. And I tell you, I got around this old way. One of my best friends is laying in a sick bed tonight, threatening with death. Hanley Melby. I got around that old way. I wanted it. Terry Pace, when you get around something's real, you just tell me. They something makes you want to be real quiet so you don't show your ignorance. Ain't that right? Oh, I know I'm right. If you don't know if I'm right, I know I'm right. I get around him. I know I better keep my mouth shut. There's something in there I didn't know all about it. I went off to school when the charismatic movement was splitting everything. Catholics and everything. And, And that'll run you away from this old time way. Being full of the Holy Ghost. Called the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing to call Him. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. They talk about it, though, them charismatics talk about it. They read about it, Brother Bob. But they didn't know nothing about what they was reading about. Tried to duplicate it. But if you ever get in the corner of a prayer room and get out on a surrendered pair of knees and open up a wicked old heart and let the Holy Ghost of God get in there and start cleaning up, you'll find out there's something more than that show business. You know, Ted, I was trained in that liberal way to make fun of that 1611. Y'all listen? Yeah, I was taught in that old liberal way. Said, make fun of that 1611. And we laughed at it. But I just kept getting around them strange people and I knew they had something I better be quiet about. Hey, I at least got enough sense, Larry, to keep my mouth shut when I'm around about somebody that knows more about this thing than I do. Oh, yeah. And I found out this, when you get around to where the real stuff is, there's always a few that probably ain't even saved. They know more about it than anybody. You know, they might not even be saved. Oh, yeah. So tonight my preaching is to express to you, it's to testify. The early church, when it met together, I read the history of it. I can prove everything I'm saying. I ain't going to beat around lying to you. I'll tell you the truth. That early church, they'd sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs until it was cranked up. I'll prove it to you. And then they'd say to the man of God, that gets high, they'd say, now what have you been meditating on this week? And he'd, listen, John Wesley preached 40,000 times in 58 years. That's over two times a day. 7 days a week, rain and shine. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, all of them. How'd he do that? He didn't have an office. He probably didn't have a study where he could put them homiletical outlines together. Pull all that blood out of that book. Y'all with me? Y'all ain't want no preaching tonight. I'm up high as a kite. I'm high, buddy. Huh? I'm just telling you tonight. I'm just telling you tonight, buddy. There's a long way up in here. Everybody can read that book. I had a daddy that read that book and didn't know what was in it. Buddy, I read that book and I didn't either, but I read her again and I got to knowing what was in it. Made that prayer, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And he took me serious and he opened my eyes. Oh, He didn't bear our sins, Brother B.B. He did bear them. But the worst thing about it is He was made to become our sins. That makes me shudder to think about Him becoming sin. And then when John beheld Him as a lamb slain, you read anybody, he saw the scars on that lamb. Does that mean I'm going to see the scars on Christ? Oh, God, that tears me up. I don't want to see a cripple in heaven. But if there's one up there, it's him. And the rest of us won't be. That'd be awful. I think the greatest reward a man could get is to carry a scar that he got for preaching the gospel. That'd probably be the greatest crown a man could get. Oh, my. I'll read you this. I want you to look at 1 Samuel 15:27. In that passage of Scripture, it's going to be a bunch of verses, y'all. I don't care if you stand up or whatever you do. I'm just going to get it off my heart and then that'll be good. 15:27. You understand that Saul has not done what God wanted him to do. Why don't you find out what he did? He called a fast that God didn't call for. And if we called a fast in here today, you'll say, that's got to be God. But it might not be God. It wasn't in that case. He saved the fatted calves and the cattle. He saved the fatted calves to make the cattle to make the sacrifice, Ronnie. And that wasn't God's will. Everything he did was religious and we had all accepted it. But God said, you're rejected. He said, I've done everything God told me to do. He said, what's this bleeding I hear? This bleeding of the sheep I hear. Well, he said, we saved the best. for God. And he said, God has rent the kingdom from you. It's a sad day for that old preacher. He loved that man. He loved old Saul. I mean, he loved him. And God said, quit crying for him. I'm done with him. And so he pulled away. He started to go away. In 1527, I think I have my reference right. In 1527, Saul, and as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thee. And you go down there a little further. Verse 30, then he said, that's what Saul said to Samuel. I have sinned. That's a good statement. Yet now I pray thee before the elders that have put my people, before Israel. Now that's what he prayed for now. Watch what he prayed for. And turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He wasn't wanting the kingdom back. He's wanting to end with God. It gets real important, buddy, when you get on that line where you get to be cut off. It got real important where he was right up there to be cut off. He said, let me worship him one more time. So Samuel turned again after Saul. And Saul worshiped the Lord. And you can read the rest of her. When Saul, you can sit down. When Samuel walked away, he cried over Saul, but he never went back. When he anointed David, he said, if I let him find out what I'm going to do, he'll kill me. And God said, go on down there and do it anyway. So you have that. He rent that mantle. I've done everything, Brother Ken, I could to find out. I don't understand why somebody hadn't written on that mantle. I give you the reason why it got on my mind. I was at Concord, and Marion Atkinson got to preaching on the mantle. Elijah's mantle. There's two words here that you're going to have to keep to the men of God. It's the ones in 1 Samuel. I'll give you the references. 1 Samuel 28 and 1 Kings 19 and 2 Kings 2. And that's all the ones that dealt. They were glory mantles. They were glory mantles. They went on men of God. They went on high-ranking, spiritually high-ranking people. Sometimes on a king. And so Marion was preaching on the mantle. He's talking about different people getting the mantle of somebody else. And that afternoon, Brother Ken, we went over to the lunchroom and we were sitting and Edgar Thomas was preaching in that meeting. And I don't know what you think about Edgar Thomas. Hey, it's just between me and him, I love him. Hey, listen. He had come down there. He had that short arm. Catherine had cut them shirts off, had a short arm. He couldn't, sometimes, probably, maybe he couldn't preach very, very much. But, oh, son, if he start growling, he'd start dragging that sleeve. Is that my right, Bob? God said, you better stay out of the aisle. Is that right, Homer? If he start dragging that sleeve and growling, buddy, God was in that building. You better not even say a word. God was in there. Oh, what a man of God. Well, he was sitting in that lunchroom, and Marion and I was not doing my normal. I excuse me, I'm being quiet. I don't know nothing about what they're talking about. I'm pretty quiet. So, old Marion's talking about me and getting a mantle from somebody else. And I made a statement about, I won't name the name, but a Cherokee Indian. In the state of Georgia, made a statement. He started the first independent Baptist church in Georgia. I called his name. And Edgar didn't say that for a little bit. And then he said, Brother Wayne, he didn't start the first independent Baptist church in Georgia. But I'll tell you what he did. He built a church with a mantle on it. Oh, Lord. What do you think my mind was doing there, Ronnie? He built a church the mantle of God was on. And then I got to studying about that. The mantle that the church that God has put the church that God's put a mantle on. And then I got to thinking, you know, I know these letters that Paul wrote. He wrote one to the Romans. That wasn't just one church. It couldn't have been one church. There's lots of churches around off that one church. They were babies out of that one church. We talked about that somewhere today. About a church that had the touch on it. And it kind of fell apart and had little babies all around. Did y'all see? Y'all get that? There's the Corinthian church, the Roman church, the Corinthian. There's the Corinthian, the Galatian church. At Galatia, there's several of them. The Ephesian church had churches all around it. But one church. He wrote that letter to the Ephesians. But that church had the influence on a bunch of churches. I mean, I'll just tell you why I believe that. Because a good man can walk 15 miles a day. And if he's really trying hard, he'll go further. But a normal walk would be 15 miles a day. And you're telling me, you cannot tell me that they would walk 15 miles in and walk 15 miles out. They start their own churches out there. But that mother church, that Ephesian church, no, we don't believe in a hierarchy like the Presbyterians do, a synod. We believe that every church is independent. But you know that church just loves that old mother church. You know how they do. Just like children. Are y'all with me? They like their mother. And they're always for their mother. You know when a church can quit being a mission church? When it can support itself. That's when you let Brother Mill be out of the hospital, when he can eat his own food and carry his own weight. Keep him in there until he can do that. And you keep a church under mission status until it can take care of itself. Well, he was talking about that. Edgar said he didn't start the first Independent Baptist Church in Georgia, but he did have the mantle on it. He did have the mantle on it. And then he said a woman came along and brought him down. And then he said, man will come off of that church. And he named one over by Athens. He went on that, and I didn't know that preacher. Put that mantle on that church. And then he said the devil had another wench he sent over there and got him. Devil's got a lot of wenches, buddy. And I listened to that old man of God, buddy. I'm talking about Moses or... I heard W.A. Criswell preach in person. It's just like Moses. You just want to be quiet. You don't even want to get where he can look at you hardly. Heard that old man God say, a woman got him. He got both of them, and the mantle left. The mantle went off of him. And then he said, God put that mantle on my church. And anybody who knew Edgar Thomas knew that that mantle was on his church. And it stayed on it till he resigned. And then it left. I want to preach about that tonight. You know, I go to a lot of churches. And every one of us do. Ronnie, you do. Terry Pace, we've talked about it a lot of times, Terry. How in the world can you have revival? People dress and act in the way they do. Huh? How can you have revival when they act like they're acting? You can't have no revival. There ain't no snaring of God in them churches. They're the ones that got crosses on the top. But they're not real. But I'm going to tell y'all something tonight. When you find a church where a sinner feels like somebody put a screwdriver down on him, you better find that church and hang on to it. And you know what happens when that does that? Men like yourself don't have to run the outfit. You just got a concern about it. You got a burden for your church. You want your man of God to get a touch from God. You don't want to interfere with anything God's doing in that business right there. Stay out of it. Leave it alone. Don't tell him how to run the church. Listen. Aholiab and Bezalel knew more about building that tabernacle than 10 Moses would. But do you know who they took orders from? They took orders from a fella that knew how to build anything. They took orders from Moses who knew more about it than anybody else. Now let me tell you what I have in mind tonight. I've been struggling with this thing for a long time. I was going to give you all these texts. Good grief, they're so good. Here's that one where the witch of Endor called that. What'd she do? Anybody got a good answer? I'll be quiet while you tell me. I don't know who that feller was. He said, what he look like? Said, I don't know, but he had a mantle on him. He said, that's who I thought it was. That mantle identified him. Amen. I don't know all about this mail. But I know one thing. You don't have to tell somebody it's on there. It can be very well understood it's on there. You can see it. And I don't guess it's a piece of material. I don't think it's that. It's just the presence of God. It's some kind of aura around this guy or this woman. Rufus Edmonds said, I don't know where you like him or not. Don't matter. He went to Winona Lake and he found out that old Chinese woman, that old Chinese missionary. What was her name, honey? Bertha Smith. Found out she lived there. He went over to her house. She didn't know Rufus Everson from a goose. He knocked on her door. And she came to that door, Elizabeth. You're really set up for doing just about what this woman did. She came to that door, pushed that door open and said, "You're Rufus Everson, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, I am. How'd you know?" She said, "God told me who you are and what you need to know, and you come on in here and I'm going to tell you what He said." Y'all believe that? You don't have to believe that. I do. Buster Seaton went to Alabama, preaching in a revival. He heard about an old woman down in there somewhere. I'm talking about a woman with a mantle on it. You ain't excluded from this. Ma'am, you're not excluded from this. You're not excluded. You don't have to be a preacher, Bob. Huh? He said, "I heard about this old woman." He said, "Yeah, she lived right down the road." He said, "Well, you want to go see her tomorrow?" "Yeah." Don't care what you think of Buster Seaton. I don't believe he's a liar. Took her down there. Took him down there. He stepped up on the step, knocked on the door. She did exactly the same thing. Said, "Your name's Buster Seaton." "Yes, ma'am." "How did you know?" Said, "God told me He was coming. Come in here and I'll tell you what He told me. Buster Seaton told me that himself." Are y'all listening? And Rufus told me that too. Are y'all listening to me? I don't understand all I know about this mantle thing. But there she brought that feller up. And he said, "What'd he look like?" Said he had that mantle on him. And he said, that was Samuel. Identified him. I don't know. I don't understand that. But I know it's what it said in the Bible. Listen to this. In 1 Kings 19:13, you don't have to turn there. Elijah went to Mount Sinai. It come a wind that broke rocks. When's the last time you saw one of them? I ain't never seen one that broke rocks. It come a fire. I'm talking about it was horrible what went on. But I wonder what you'd have done if you'd have been in all that action going on in the atmosphere. I think I'd have found me a tunnel or something to get under. He didn't even move, that old man. But he heard a whisper come through that wind. I was hunting one time out on top. I hunted barefooted. I told you I was more hillbilly than you. I was hunting barefooted. I was 17 years old and had a 20-gauge shotgun. And it was fall of the year and the wind was blowing. And I was making my way out to it was a black oak or a red oak. I don't know, but it's one of them big oaks. And I looked out there on the limb and I saw him pulling them. I couldn't hear him, but I see him pulling them nuts off. So I knew while he was getting that nut off there, he couldn't hear me, so I could plunge through that mess that I was trying to get through. I hadn't hunted up there, and the path was growed up. I made my way, and he'd start eating, and I'd have to quit. And he's getting ready to go out on that limb again. And God Almighty made the wind just settle down, just as quiet as a mouse. And I heard the leaves rustle. And I started to dismiss it. And I said, "Well, maybe I ought to look and see what that noise was I heard. That real small voice I heard down in there. That wind was rough, but it just laid. And I heard that little bitty move of them leaves. And I took that Winchester 37 and stuck it down under that little limb and picked it up. And there laid a big copperhead about that long. But he done rolled up and he dropped them fangs and he'd already backed off. So I thought he would enjoy a good bite of about number 5 shot of a high brass 20-gauge shotgun. I don't know whatever happened to him, but that's the last time I hunted barefooted." You understand me tonight? A still, small voice. A little bitty whisper. And he pulled that mantle up over his face now. He pulled it over his face. I was telling you tonight, I pray in front of them chairs like that. No, them metal chairs. If you get down in front of them metal chairs, you know I've taught prayer for years. If you get down in front of them metal chairs, put your face in it, it feels like you're all alone, you and God. If the whole house is full of people, you feel alone. And if you'll just start praying and praying, all of a sudden a little prayer wheel start turning. And you'll just about lose yourself right there in front of that chair. Anybody done that? Yeah. If you get in that corner right behind you, sir, right there, get on your knees and run your face up in that corner. Y'all with me? You feel like you're alone with God. And you can pray in there. And the power of God will fall in that corner. And I don't care who's around. Everybody's gone in another world. You're by yourself. Amen. There he was by himself on top of Mount Sinai. He wrapped that thing around his head and went off with God. God asked him big questions. They're hard to answer. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You ever been to ask that when you're supposed to be at church? Is that the flea market? What are you doing here? In 1 Kings 19:19, he come off of that mountain. He throwed that mantle on another fellow, Elisha. He throwed it on him. I don't know how he got it back, but he got it back. In 2 Kings 2:8, he took that mantle and parted the water of the Jordan River. Same word. In 2:13, Elisha picked up that old mantle. Here's a strange thing. Elijah said, What do you want? He said, I want a double portion. You know what? Have you all read any commentaries on that? I've talked the Bible through about 3 or 4 times. Y'all read any commentaries on that? They deny that. He said a double portion. You know what he's asking for? He's asking for the firstborn's portion. You can't tell me it don't mean a double portion. It means a double portion. And you're an idiot if you change the Bible. Now let me give you this one. Why in the world did Elijah say you've asked a hard thing? Tell me what's hard about that. God can do anything. And He don't have to wait for your approval. He can do anything. Parted the waters, He can part the Red Sea. He can back the sun up 10 degrees or hold it in the sky about the length of a day. Any day He wants to. What Elijah mean? You ask a hard thing. I'm going to tell you what he means. He means your heart has to be right with God or you ain't going to get a mantle. That's exactly what he means. And it can't mean anything else. You don't know who that guy is you're praying with or running with, do you? If you don't know him right now, you don't know him. That's exactly right. Phonies and shams. Well, he said, if you see me when I leave here, you can have it. And he saw him. And then chapter 2, verse 13, he picked it up. In chapter 2, verse 14, he parted that water. Just like Elijah did. Now here's what I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to be done. I believe Brother Terry is probably the most anointed preacher I've ever preached around. And listen to him. I love him. You listen to me tonight. I don't care what you want out of this thing. I really do. I'm saying that with a tongue in cheek. But I'm going to tell you what I want out of this thing. If God will put a mantle on me, I'd let Him take my legs off tonight. I'm just telling you, buddy. If God would put a mantle, I want Him to use me for His glory more than anything I know. Did we not talk about that, Ronnie Jones? Y'all saying, you could have a mantle in your little group. I've seen groups that had it. We went to a meeting up yonder in Abington, and an old woman and her daughter, I don't know where she's got a good mind or not. They stood up and sung off key. That old woman's old as Moses. And she started singing that thing. And that girl started singing with her, and I'm telling you, buddy, you couldn't hardly sit still because that mantle was on her. That mantle was on her. I mean, a guy wrote me a text the other day. He said, you ever heard of a guy named Vance Havner? I said, I reckon I have. He said, I heard one tape by him. It's pretty good. I said, just get all you can get of him. He didn't yell like I do. I don't think he sweated like I do. I don't think he'd run around the altar like I do. He just talked, and about every word was a dagger to stick it in your ribs, buddy. You would want to get under a pew if you heard him preach. Talk, or whatever you want to call it. And I'm saying to you tonight, a mantle, I don't think you fill out an application for a mantle. I don't believe you do it. I believe, and I'm just telling you what I believe. One of these days, Terry Pace is going to be gone. He's preached so hard, I don't know how he's made it as far as he has. Sister, you better hang on to what you got. I don't see how he's kept his heart from blowing up. We talk about it today, he's found out how to build his own fire. I believe he could preach to China's terracotta soldiers and get in it. Yeah, I mean it. I'm telling you, buddy. But that mantle, one of these days, he's going to lay her down. And I ain't talking about losing that mantle. I'm talking about we're going to carry him out there in Alabama somewhere, find a piece of dirt and put him down the ground. But I wonder who's going to pick it up. I can't preach like him. I'm 72. Hanley Milby's just about ready to lay his mantle down. I wonder if there's anybody got enough of God that God will let them have his mantle. Does anybody in here got any notion who that is? I'm talking about a man of God. If it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit here right here. And I'm not glorifying nobody. I'm just telling you when a mantle's on a man, you know it. Yeah, and you really won't be quiet when you get around one of them. They know a lot more about God than you ever dreamed of knowing. And you always wonder what's next. What they're going to do next. Who can carry that, Larry? Who can carry that mantle? There's mantles been laid down. Edgar Thomas laid that mantle down. I'm telling you, I don't believe in swearing, but I don't know if anybody ever picked that mantle up. He'd drag that arm and scare people. Scare you to death. Oh, Lord, if I could have that mantle, Brother Beebe. God, if I could have a mantle that God could use me to touch people's lives. That's all I care about. I don't care about a big bankroll. I don't care about a nice car. I got all that. I got all that. I don't care about all that. This is what I do care. I do care if them three girls come in where you are, getting harnessed with you. Don't we, baby? I don't want to leave that little girl alone. That kills me to think I walk away and watch her have to try to live in that house without me in there. But I feel the same way, Dale. I don't think I'll ever go back in there and sleep in that bed when she's gone. She's had the mantle in my life. Y'all listening to me? Mantle. You want a mantle? Do you want a mantle? I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to quit. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here don't want a mantle. Hey, some of you ain't going to pay no price for a mantle. When them two Lindsay boys come to sing, now boys, don't you get no big head, but I'm just telling you, I don't care how big the preacher is, you don't take no second seat to nobody. God has anointed you. I remember when you used to mean nobody could get along with you. I remember them little boys. Don't I, fellas? But the Holy Ghost of God has chosen them. And I believe this, brother. I believe I'll say this. I don't believe that God elects who's going to have the mantle unless that person is elected upon their dedication. That's the only way. Now, I'll tell you how it is. The world don't have anything for you. Every way in the world is a dead-end street with a junk pile on the end of it. The only one that's going to pay off for you at the end is that one that's heading toward heaven. Boys, ain't no junkyard on the end of that, boy. Oh, no, sir, buddy. Hey, the box don't ever have to be checked. Hallelujah, buddy. You don't have to check the bank account. You haven't got to worry about a lawyer sending you a letter. You don't have to be summoned into court. Never again. When that book is closed, you're out of all fear from that day on. Get to see the Savior. I'm going to tell you something. I want to know who I'm going to see. I don't want to just know about Him. I heard a man preach on that. It just burned my hide. I said, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you one thing, Lord. I'm going to tell you how it is, buddy. I'm a human. And I don't have much infallibility about me, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't fill me up and use me, I'll hound you till I die. I'll hound you till I die. If God don't save them three girls, them other three girls in my family, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, Dale. I'm going to hound him till I die. I'm going to hound him, Jerry, till I die. If he don't fill me with the Holy Ghost of God, I'm going to hound him till I die. If he don't take care of all those needs, I'm going to hound him till I die. Why don't you come to this altar sometime tonight and tell God, hey, it's enough. We're about ready to leave. Whoever said that this morning, right? We're fixing to leave here, buddy. Read that Bible. Why don't you read the Bible and find out where you are? We're standing right on the very edge of this volcanic eruption called the second coming of the Lord. And we ain't won the world. I've been praying about that. You know when they don't want it. You're just casting your pearl before swine when they don't want you talking to them about God. I mean, you can drop a word, but that's all. And Howell said, don't run them. What do you mean run them off? They're already lost. Well, you can run them off. You can make them so blasted hard they don't want to let you say another word to them. Treat them right. Tell them about God. Amen. Ain't that right? This world is getting worse all the time, and they don't want to hear about God. So you better get yourself ready, because we're going out. I prayed I'd get to die today. Wouldn't that be a lovely thing to die in this meeting right here? Hallelujah. Probably mess y'all up, but it sure wouldn't mess me up. It wouldn't mess me up. I swept the porch. I swept the yard. I locked the doors. Told my sweetheart I loved her. Them four kids right there. And I loved them. I told all you I love you. Didn't I? Y'all mad at me about anything? I'm sorry. I'll take all the blame. If you just forget it. Amen. I apologize to people that's done me wrong. What's it mean anything to me? Ain't that right? Wouldn't you want a mantle? Ain't you a preacher? Do you want a mantle? You want to just read them sermon books and figure out how to put 3 points of the poem together and talk somebody into doing something dumb? God help us. Throw them stupid books away and go find your prayer place. I tell you what you'll do. You ain't believing me. You don't even believe what I said. Go off somewhere by yourself in them woods and stay out there all day long. I went over at that dam. I took Brother Milby over. I can't hardly walk. His knees were bad. They got great big rocks. And they're all piled in there, and they think that re-regulatory dam. I said, now here, Brother Milby, this is how I do it. I said, if you don't, you know, you tell me we'll quit. And so I get down there, and I got me a big old stick because I can't support myself. I can't stabilize. So I put that stick down and step to the next rock. And I pray a little while. Put the old stick down, take me another step. Ask Haley Milby about it. I took him down there. He got so carried away picking that driftwood up, he forgot to pray. I promise you, this is the way I did it. One step at a time. I'd stay all day, as long as I could, I'd stay on them rocks and walk my way probably 200 yards around that dam trying to find God. And one day he stepped in on that thing about where they checked the level of that dam. There's a pipe goes down in there about right there. It's just a little ways about from here to the other side of the road. He got me on that rock. And I said, is that you? He said, it is I. I said, are you sure that's you? Opened my Bible. I said, it is I. I flipped that Bible one more time. He said, be not afraid. It is I. Two testimonies. Two words. I said, all right, buddy. Sink or swim, live or die. Here I come. And I closed that book and come up off that dam. And the holy God of heaven has carried me and carried me and carried me. And carry me. I believe I've seen the Shekinah glory of God. I've pretty near been where I could touch Him because I want it worse than anything in the world. Do y'all want it? You want it? I want it. I want it, Brother Ken. I don't care. I don't care if you can tell me more about Him. I want to know. I wonder tonight, should I? I don't know what to do here. Let me ask you something. Are you listening to me enough to respond to what I've said? Won't you bow your head? I don't know if you've listened or not. I've talked about a woman that had laid with God so long and she knew a stranger that knocked on her door. I'm talking about singers. I'm talking about an old man of God. When he come in the place, the whole outfit felt a touch of God. Are you here tonight? We'll say, Brother Wayne, would you pray for me? I want that mantle on me. Would you slip that hand up? The hands all over the place here. Oh, look at that. The mothers, the preachers, the missionaries, the kids. I'm going to tell you something. I've got three little grandchildren right here. Y'all look up at me. Look up here at me. I've got three little grandchildren here. There's my little granddaughter. If you don't mind standing up for me, baby, just stand up. She can play the piano and everything. Devil don't like her. He hates her guts. He's after her. He's after her, buddy. He's got a devil coming after her. And I pray every day, two or three times, don't I, that God won't let the devil get that little thing right there. I want her to have that mantle. You can't have that mantle at our age. You can have it. But it sure is nice when they start out right there. I've been praying that thing right there. Buddy, just as soon as he's old enough to come under Holy Ghost conviction, so powerful when he gets saved, he'll never forget it. Now, if you don't know how to pray for your kids, I'm going to tell you, Jeremy, that's how you pray for your kids. Nobody messing with my kids. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they know. You leave my kids alone. Let the Holy Ghost do it. I'm praying for that boy. I pray for him every day several times that the devil won't get your husband while he's off by himself in them motels working on them old air compressors. And he's got to stay all night over in Alabama or somewhere down in Mississippi. Listen, buddy. The devil's after him. I know he's after him. He hates our marriage. He's tried to destroy it. But he ain't got her yet, buddy. He ain't got her yet. And if I know anything about praying, he ain't going to get it. An old man, I just got to tell a story. I got too many stories, don't I? I used to have 6 bus routes in my church. And I know, whatever you want to say, had 6 bus routes, had an international. You know what a bus route's for? It's to kill a preacher. That's all it's about. You pick them kids up, it wouldn't mind nobody. Ain't that right? No, I ain't none of you know. But I know. We had an international bus, and it had a 339 engine in it. I think it's a 339. Old. And I got the bus, and the engine blowed up in it. So I called an old feller up in Valley Station. I just got to tell you this. This is pride between me and you. His name was Con. C-O-N-N, Con. I should have took a hint from the good Lord. About that, he said, "Oh, preacher, this came out of Jefferson County school system, and they rebuilt that engine, and it went across they went over the amount of money allotted to fix that, and they're selling it to you. It's a brand new engine." I used to believe that stuff. I really did. I believe what he told me. Pulled that engine, we was changing it over in a sanitation truck, garage. We had a man there, drove the truck. We all got together and pulled that big old 339 out of there and dropped that other one in right quick on Saturday, about 10 o'clock in the morning, bolted that flywheel up right quick. I said, "Start the motor right now. We got to hear a run, boys, or we're going to lose this money." I put about 350 in it. When she cranked, it sounded like a thrashing machine. I said, "Shut it off! Shut it off before it blows up! Pull it out!" I pulled it out. Put it in Daddy's pickup. Put it in a pickup. Chopped it up with 2 bales of straw and drove it to Valley Station. Pulled in that old Con's place and his boy was there. I said, "Motor's bad. Pull her out, buddy." He started looking at it, Terry. Shining a flashlight all around. He said, "We don't have no markings on it." I said, "Sir, if you want a 339 international engine, you better pull that in because I've done stop payment on your check." Boy, he put the pull on that engine, got her out there. And listen now, I ain't done. I drove home in that pickup truck and pulled in my driveway. Right behind me come his daddy, Mr. Con. He said, "I've already called a lawyer, and you stole my engine." I said, "Mister, I trusted you, and I didn't make any kind of safety features to keep from getting ripped off. I trusted you. And I said, you give me a bad motor. And I said, I can't defend myself, but I'm going to tell you what I've done. I told God to kill you before you could hurt me. And I'm going to tell you what He did. I swear it's the truth. And you ain't supposed to swear, excuse me. Swear not at all, neither heaven nor earth. Hey, it's the truth. He's driving a station wagon. Jeremy, this was the truth. He went, put that thing in reverse. He didn't even look in the mirror. Backed it around that gravel driveway and jerked it down the driveway and out that driveway he went. Mr. Kahn disappeared from my life. Amen. That's the way they ought to respect a man of God. That old man scared to death of me. I don't know if I'd have got any kind of answer prayer, but he thought I could. That's all I cared about. Now I'm done, y'all, tonight. And you've been easy to preach to. I hope you've been sympathetic to my message. I preach my heart, Terry. This mantle means something to me. I'm old. I'm too old. I'm too old to just idle out. God forbid. Man, I got this leg changed. About 3 or 4 weeks, you ask her. I looked at her one morning. She got out of the bed and come on and sat on the couch. I said, Toxie, you better pray for me. I'm losing my mind. And she said, honey, come over here and lay your head in my lap. And she run her fingers through my hair. And the Holy Ghost of God restored me. Got me back going. As lowest days you about ever seen. I regretted to think that God was done with me. I thought He was done with me, Brother Beebe. Oh, listen, you talk about suicide. If I would commit suicide, I'd commit it right there. If I thought God wouldn't use me anymore. So I'm going to ask you that tonight. If you mind if I do, give you an invitation. Sister, you come and just play a little, or some whoever you want. And why don't y'all come and pray? Listen, ask God to give you the mantle. If you're not a preacher, that doesn't mean you can't have the mantle. You listen to me. Lance Neal got saved in a fire department, from a fire department. The guy was a fireman. And the man that hired him told him, he said, Lance, we got a Christian in here, and he won't let the sun go down on you today without trying to get you saved. He said, I'm just going to warn you before it starts. And sure enough, he caught him. He said, could I just tell you a few things out of the Bible? Set him down, told him how to be saved. He thought, well, that's over with. The next day, he said, I got some more stuff I want to show you out of the Bible. Sat down at that dinner table and showed him the same verse of Scripture. He said he kept showing him them verses of Scripture until one day he couldn't take her no longer and he got born again. You understand, you don't have to be a preacher to have a mantle on you. They knew that guy was going to win him if he could be won. He kept telling him about God. So why don't you put yourself in this message? It's not just preachers. It's women. It's old women that can carry the load, but some of them young women have got such a godly character about them that God gives them a mantle. Gives them a mantle. You can tell the way they look. You can tell the way they act. You know, and I want to say this. A preacher's wife. Oh, what a special human being that is. Do you believe this? Preacher, am I wearing y'all out? I don't want to be wearing you out. But y'all listen to me. A preacher's wife has got to have a souped up motor, buddy, to keep that feller going. I mean, I'm telling you, I used to be a DX dealer, had a gas station. And I went to school. And they said, when we send our gas out to Shell or DX, we put the same gas in every tank. And when it goes to DX, which was Sunoco, he said, we climb up on that tank, and because it was boron, we pour a vial of boron about that big in there. Pour that in there. And that makes it boron. And Shell puts her fire and ice junk in there. And y'all listen to me. Listen, God's got something for you to do. And it don't matter where you're Shell or DX or what you are. God's got a little slip of something to put in your life to change your whole life. Make something different out of you. Do you want to come and pray and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. Whatever you want to do with me, I want that mantle on me. I want to be a young person with the power of God. I want to preach where people get saved. It don't mean nothing to me. It don't mean nothing to me tonight. if I just impress you so nicely. But it means one big wad tonight. If one or two people get Holy Ghost touch on them. Won't you get up and come on? Just pile in this altar. Hey, I'm not preaching a foreign language to you. Oh, no, sir, buddy. God has brought me up this road to see the glory of God in my life. Come on, get down here. Get up where you're at. And come on. Altar's about half full, but you ought to be up here. You ought to be here. Will you come? I wonder if you'd come. These illustrations, sometimes they get carried away. Why don't you come tonight? Mother, a mechanic that loves God, pulls them old wrenches with the Holy Ghost on him, who prays and praises God. It's like that fireman told old Lance Neal, just kept telling him how to be saved. Little children can start young. Boy, there ain't many do it today, but it can be done. Can be done. There's some teenagers in here tonight, you can make your mind up that I am going down that road. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. If God will anoint a teenager, listen, I remember when a young man came to Faith Baptist Camp, he could not even stand tall enough to read a Bible off the pulpit. His Bible was on the pulpit, Jerry, and he put his hand up on that Bible. But he knew he was going to preach, so he'd already memorized his verse. And he stood and preached like a grown man. Some of y'all remember when North Carolina expelled a kid over here out of the public school for his preaching. Carried a Bible big as his chest and arms. Did y'all ever see that? Anybody seen that? They expelled that kid out of school. He could never come back. And when I heard him preach, boys, he could preach like a veteran. Had that mantle on him. He chose God. Why don't you come on tonight? Why don't you teenagers come on and ask God for that mantle. Give your heart to Him. And if you don't want to be saved, hey, just sit there and go to hell. That's your business, ain't none of mine. If you like going to hell, go ahead, buddy. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. There's a whole lot better way. You don't have to go to hell. If God saved me, I'll tell you what He'd do. He'd save the worst sinner in 10 times the holler you're living in. He saved me, He'll save anybody. Anybody in here concerned enough to come on? Come on. Come on, get this thing over with. Give your heart to God.